Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 154 of the Panelcast. I am your host, AJ, and with me, as usual, Anthony.
Hiya.
This week, or this episode anyway, we will be reviewing Hardcore Henry. Anthony and I went out and checked it out, and we're going to tell you whether we liked it or not. Also, I will be reviewing The Jungle Book, a complete opposite end of the spectrum as far as movies are concerned, but still both very hardcore geeky movies. All of that, plus the news, right after our first break.
Hi, this is Rosie from Rosie's Reading Corner. Check out my blog at forbiddenpanel.com and discover new, and some not so new, graphic novels, manga, and other geeky reads along with me.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time again for our news segment. I'll toss it over to AJ and let him get things started off.
Well, first up, I wanted to, it's kind of a bit of, been a bit of controversial news that's come out in the past couple of days. Once again, Hollywood doing everything it can to prove how racist it is. The first photo of the live-action version of Ghost in the Shell came out, showcasing Scarlett Johansson as the titular character, you know, in costume, had the hair all set up. I mean, it really didn't show much of anything else. The story, for those of you that don't know, the story follows a major, the special ops, one-of-a-kind human-cyborg hybrid, who leads the elite Task Force Section 9, devoted to stopping the most dangerous criminals and extremists. Section 9 is faced with an enemy whose singular goal is to wipe out Honka Robotics' advancements in cyber technology. Now, it wasn't even really this photo that really started anything. But what did start was when news came out that the DreamWorks and Paramount Pictures tried to use CGI to make all the actors and characters appear Asian. Reading over the cast list, that would only really apply to three people, because everybody else seems to be Asian. But it just feels like a little bit of racism here, on that they want to, you know, they can't admit that they cast Scarlett Johansson in the role, so they just want to Asian her up. I just don't think that's cool. And everybody else out there on the internet seems to agree with me, as explosions and debates have been blowing up left and right in concern of, once again, Hollywood just hiring the wrong type of actors to portray these roles. No news on whether it's something that they're going to keep with or not, but as it develops, we'll keep letting you know. Anthony?
Jeez, man. I'm not even going to touch that one, so I'm just going to move on. what I've got is news, an announcement from James Cameron from last week's CinemaCon relating to the Avatar franchise. You know, after the first film, we all expected we were going to get two more sequels to build this nice full trilogy over next couple of years. And we heard that release dates for Avatar 2 have been pushed back multiple times. Well, it's not two sequels anymore. It's four sequels. And let's see, originally Avatar 2 was scheduled to come out December 2017. It's being pushed back until 2018. But according to James Cameron, after when asked about the films all being shot back-to-back, well, asked if they were going to be shot back-to-back, his response was, it's not back-to-back. It's really all one big production. It's more the way you would shoot a miniseries. So we'll be shooting across all Avatar scripts simultaneously. So Monday I might be doing a scene from movie 4, and Tuesday I'm doing a scene from movie 1. We're working across essentially 8 hours of story. It's going to be a big challenge to keep it all fixed in our minds, exactly where we are across that story arc at any given point. It's going to be probably the most challenging thing I've ever done. I'm sure the actors will be challenged by that as well. It's like, no. This person hasn't died yet, so you're still in this phase of your life. It's a saga. It's like doing all three Godfather films at the same time, which seems kind of nuts to me, but what are you going to do? So we've got films slated for 2018, 2020, 2022, and 2023 for the next four films in the Avatar franchise, and they're all scheduled to be released sometime around Christmas of those years. Shooting all of them kind of at the same time is nuts, but we'll see what comes of it, because Avatar is, well, it's still one of my favorites.
They might as well call it James Cameron's Dune at this point.
Well, yeah.
Like, seriously.
He's literally shooting 8 hours of story.
And no, like, this is James Cameron, okay?
It'll be about 15 hours.
Yeah, 12 to 15 hours of story, whittled down to 12 hours. Because, I mean, Avatar, the first one, was a good hefty 3 hours.
Yeah, it sure was.
So,
well, we'll see what comes of it. Hopefully, the films all stay fantastic. What have you got, AJ?
Well, this has kind of been, I don't know. I can see Deadpool being to blame for all this, even though he's not. But Warner Brothers Animation and DC Entertainment's direct-to-video animated adaptation of Batman the Killing Joke has officially been given a rated R. Sam Register, president of Warner Brothers Animation and Warner Digital Series, says, "From the start of production, we encouraged producer Bruce Timm and our team at Warner Brothers Animation to remain faithful to the original story. Regardless of the eventual MPAA rating, The Killing Joke is revered by fans, particularly for its blunt, often shocking adult themes and situations. We felt it was our responsibility to present our core audience, the comic-loving community, with an animated film that authentically represented the tale they know all too well." They also add that there are no plans for a PG-13 version of the film. This adaptation of the classic Alan Moore comic features the return of Batman the Animated Series stars Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, reprising their iconic roles as Batman and the Joker, respectively. The film is expected to debut on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD later this year, and will feature an original 15-minute prologue that helps set up the story. Why couldn't they do this for The Dark Knight?
Yeah, seriously. Because while some people may complain about it, The Killing Joke being one of my absolute favorites, them staying true to that story and it ending up with an R rating as a result, I'm okay with it. So, The Dark Knight, that would have worked too.
The Dark Knight was designed to be R-rated.
It absolutely was.
The comic book itself was one of the most groundbreaking comic books out there. It made us believe, you know, it helped us stop taking Batman stories as a joke, as funny books, you know. It brought it into the adult realm that Watchmen has so gracefully shattered the ceiling for. But they're going to let The Killing Joke take the R-rating on it. I mean, it's cool. It's great that it's happening. But, I mean, let's be honest. The real devastating story bit that happens in The Killing Joke is the paralyzing of Barbara Gordon, the shooting of her. Sure, the little dirty sex stuff that happens in between might be a little too hinky for us. But for this to have gotten the R rating ahead of The Dark Knight, I just don't know. I'm not happy about it. Not happy about that, you know. But I'm glad that it's getting the R rating. So, yeah, well, we'll see what it does and how it turns out. What's funny, though, is, you know, they've already shown glimpses of the film all over the place. So it was already made to be R-rated. They just went ahead and told the MPAA, hey, if you give it an R, that's cool. We'll just go with it, you know? anyway, go ahead. What do you got?
Last bit I've got for this time around is gamer-related news. We heard gamers out there heard a couple months back now rumors about a partial upgrade or a incremental upgrade for the PlayStation 4 system. Well, it's official. The PS4 4.5 is what all of us have called it. It's codenamed Neo. And it features an upgraded CPU, GPU, and RAM. According to Giant Bomb, GameSpot's sister site, the Neo will come with a faster clock speed and improved GPU and faster memory.
For those of us in the audience,
unlike myself,
I don't understand the acronyms.
Computer geek. Sorry. It's going to come with a stronger processor, able to handle a lot more. It's going to come with a better video processor. So, you know, the graphics output, it is going to be better. And faster memory, it'll be able to load your games a whole lot faster. Sorry.
There you go. No, I get it, but, you know, like I said, we've got non-computer geeks out there that are like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, I lost them in all the technical codes.
Right.
But every PS4 game will be required to ship with two different modes, one where the game will run on the current PS4 and one that will run on the upgraded console. The Neo mode will utilize the superior hardware to increase and stabilize frame rates while also offering higher resolutions. 4K output will be supported, but games won't be required to run at 4K resolution. Which, if you've got a 4K TV or you're a hardcore gamer, faster frame rates and better resolution is always a cool thing. Plus, with PlayStation VR on the horizon, they needed hardware capable of supporting it at its highest level, so I kind of understand it. It's going to do interesting things to the existing PS4 ecosystem, but the word is that the existing PS4 and the 4.5 will share the PSN community. So you'll be able to play against each other on varying systems. So you only have to have one. You don't actually have to buy the new system if you already have a PS4.
Man, I haven't even gotten a PS4 yet. I knew this was going to happen. I knew the new gaming system would come out before I got a hold of the other one.
But when this happens, it'll drive the price of that PS4 down.
I don't care. I'll still be a generation behind.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for news. We will be back with reviews right after this break.
Mentally disturbed llama, super llama, drama llama, big fat mama llama.
Hi, this is Joey Labarnik, and you can check out my latest comic, A Man Called Kraken, at comixology.com, and be sure to keep checking the Forbidden Panel website, because you're going to be able to see my artwork in the upcoming Volume 2 of Forbidden Tales.
It's me, bitch. Yes, I am that llama.
Welcome back, everybody. Now we're on to the meat of the podcast, the review section, and we're going to let Anthony go ahead and kick us off with it.
Okie dokie, then. Thursday before last, AJ and I went out and we caught Hardcore Henry. You know, Hardcore Henry is one of those full-on action flicks, which doesn't really mean a lot. But if you saw any of the promotional stuff for Hardcore Henry, then you know there's a twist to it. The entire film is shot from the perspective of Henry. So as Henry's running around, dodging bullets, getting shot at, jumping off of buildings, falling out of all manner of things from many, many stories up, it's in your face. It's right there. It's a fantastic change of pace as far as action films go. And it's one of those things that, as a gamer, I literally sat in the theater thinking, why don't I have a controller in my hands? Why can't I make him dodge behind this? No, he needs to duck there. He needs to run and
jump,
hide over there.
Jump, double jump.
It's like, okay, there's a guy behind you. Shoot back. It's one of those experiences. It's one of those things that really, it deserves the big screen experience at least the once, because it's a fantastic way of looking at it, of changing up the genre, of just twisting things. So the story itself, well, you know, you've got Henry who wakes up as he's being put back together on an operating table. He's introduced to his wife and the medical facility he's in as they are getting him back online with his cybernetic parts is raided, and people around him are dying and he has to escape. And he spends the entire film, well, the bulk of the film, running from the man who led a crew into this facility to hunt him down and kill him for reasons he does not know. So I'm not going to spoil it any further by telling you how it ends or what the twist is or anything like that, but it's great action. The action sequences were fantastic, and the visuals are just immersive as all hell.
It was hands down probably one of the funnest movies I've been to in a long, long time. I mean, all movies are great and fun and have their aspects about them that make them unique and special. This movie, though, you literally cannot take your eye off the screen at any point in time for fear that you're going to miss something big, because it's all done through his point of view. So, like, if you had to pee, well, tough shit. You're watching this movie and you're peeing in your pants because you're not going anywhere. Great use of songs. Great use of, like, just over-the-top madness. And yeah, there was a couple times where I found myself, my thumbs were twitching, you know, as if I was jumping and playing along with them. And Charlton Copley, another wonderful job by this man. I mean, I've never seen a movie with him in it that where he did a bad job, with the exception of Maleficent, but that doesn't count. That was all Angelina Jolie's fault. But and I mean,
how many versions of Jimmy did he play?
Right, he plays multiple versions of one character, which is awesome, especially the way he comes across. I cannot recommend this movie enough. It is fantastic, and it is worth seeing it on the big screen. Seeing it at home in 4K may be nice and comfy, but you need to see this in all of its glory and its full Dolby THX surround sound, big massive fucking screen glory. Otherwise, it's just going to seem like a silly movie.
It's great action. It's great fun. It is totally worth the watch. Make the trip if you haven't already. What have you got, AJ?
I totally sold out this weekend. So normally, Anthony and I, we go see these movies on the Thursday night when they're released. We try to catch the first or the second showing. Only so that, you know, we don't have to worry about the weekend crowds or any of that stuff. And we really don't trust the internet to not spoil us on the movie. So we want to go see these things there. Well, I went and saw The Jungle Book this weekend. However, I had to wait till Sunday. It was very excruciating to avoid all spoilers and news bits about this movie until Sunday because my family, my in-laws in particular, wanted all of us to go out to the El Capitan in Hollywood and see this theater in full Disney style. So first let me say, the El Capitan, if you haven't been there at all or haven't been there in a long time, it is amazing. It's this huge, just massive theater complex that's just... It's impressive that they still have movie theaters out there with only one screen. And that's the El Capitan. It's just got the one screen, and it's just playing the one movie. But there are tons of people in there to go get ready to see it. We sat on the balcony, on the second level of the balcony, and saw it in 3D. And it was on a 4K screen, and you couldn't even tell that you were that high up. I mean, it was just gorgeous and beautiful. The movie starts off with an organ player sitting in the middle of the theater, just playing an organ, waiting for you guys, everybody to get in. Then he gets lowered down underneath the stage. Another band comes out. They start playing songs from Disney movies, ending with I Want to Be Like You from the original Jungle Book. And they disappear, and then the movie comes on, and it was beautiful. To see... Such a the kid that played Mowgli, I mean, he basically carried the entire movie by himself, and it was his first time in a movie, and he just did an amazing job. The effects were fantastic. There were times where it felt like they were on a set, but for the most part, I mean, they got all the characters right. They nailed it. They did a great job of combining the book with the original cartoon, including having two songs in the film. And the voice acting, I mean, Idris Elba, Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray as Blue, Ben Kingsley as Nigiri, fantastic job. I really enjoyed it even more than I thought I would, you know? And I was a fan of the animated movie when it first came out as well, when I first saw it. But I haven't seen it in so long, but this movie takes you back and then adds to it. It was just great. And Christopher Walken as King Louie and singing I Want to Be Like You. Can't argue with that, man. It was just great. So if you get a chance, again, this is one of those movies you want to go see in a big screen. I don't know. I saw it in 3D and I thought it was gorgeous, but I saw it in 3D El Capitan 4K. So I may have been spoiled. If they show it in the IMAX, take advantage and go see it there. But yeah, I thought it was great.
Sounds like I'm going to have to make a trip to catch the latest version of this one, because I was a fan of the original movie and the books. I like most of Rudyard Kipling's stuff. So sounds like an experience to be had.
It was. I mean, the whole Disney experience was worth it. It was nice to go to the El Capitan, see it's all Disney-fied. They have the whole lobby set up with photo ops, you know, and stills from the movie and all this stuff. And then you go downstairs into the basement, and there's the Ghirardelli store with all the Jungle Book props and movie toys that they sell. along with a big wall of Star Wars stuff. I almost walked out with a Sphero B-88. It was $150, so I would have been limping out, not walking out, because it would hurt that bad. But the only problem I had with the whole experience is, as most of you may know, I recently had surgery on my arm and my knee. I'm not able to go up and down stairs like I used to. The whole place is stairs. There's no escalator. There's no elevator. It's just stairs. So to go to the bathroom, I had to go down 3 flights of stairs to use the restroom and then back up 3 flights of stairs. It was not fun for me. In fact, I'd say it's very painful. But other than that, it was a great experience. And it was a great day just to be with my family and enjoying this kind of movie. It is an all-ages film, but realize that you're taking your kids to see Shere Khan, a very big Bengal tiger. You're taking them to see Ka, a huge, huge python. And you're taking them to see it in 3D. So these big monster animals can get scary for kids if they don't know what to expect.
Nice fodder for nightmares.
Right. So just be aware of that. But other than that, fantastic job. I thought Disney did a great job. So, and that wraps us up for the review. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, the sad part of the show happens. That's when Anthony starts crying. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's that sad time again. Time to bring an end to another episode of the Panelcast. But before we do, Forbidden Panel had an event last weekend, their monthly 24-hour Create Something Day. So, AJ, how'd the event go?
The event was pretty cool, actually. I mean, we've been doing this thing for about 3 years now, hosting our own event. What it is, basically, is for 24 hours, we lock ourselves into the Forbidden Panel clubhouse that we have here on campus, and we force ourselves to get done work that we're otherwise unable to do. You see, everybody at Forbidden Panel here, we all have day jobs, so we're not able to spend as much time drawing, writing, or creating like we really wish we could. So instead, once a month, we get together for 24 hours, and we force it out of us. So that's what came across this weekend. It was a lot of fun. Justin and Daniel Whitfield joined me, and we sat down and watched movies all night and worked on comic books. Anthony showed up for a little bit, which was nice. He got to do some work as well. And then, too bad he left early, because I made Korean-style bulgogi and tilapia and fed the boys with it. I was very surprised an hour later when they still survived and were able to continue drawing and working. In fact, it motivated them more because the boss cooked, so they had to work more. But yeah, we got a lot of work done. It was a lot of awesome. It's a lot of fun. We invite all of you to come out anytime, you know, and join us. It's not just for comic books. I mean, you come out, like I said, I did cooking and I was experimenting. I'd never cooked those things before, so I made everybody there my test subject. So you can come out, you can cook. We have a full service kitchen. You can draw, you can sew, you can do stuff with yarn, you can make music, you can do whatever you want to do. It's just an excuse to come down and get done that little pesky project that you just haven't been able to make time for. Some people have even started a project that they will only work on during this time, so that it allows them time to be creative on something new. So, I mean, you're welcome to stop by and do it as well. We watch films. We have our own, like I said, we have a full-service kitchen. You can cook whatever you want in. We have eager, willing guinea pigs. On occasion, we'll have models come down and pose for us so that we can draw or paint them. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's great because we get to pick up tips on stuff we may not know about. I helped somebody take hours off their work last week by just giving them a simple tip. And it's what we do. We help each other out. It's a community of creators that just want to create. So if you have an opportunity, come on out and join us. It's a lot of fun. Also, we have our comic book club coming up in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, the comic book club is a lot of fun. Anthony's a member. What do you think, Anthony?
It's always a good time. The books we go through, it's fun because everybody that shows up puts forth recommendations. So you get exposed to all kinds of things that you might not normally come across in your regular reading schedule. You get to interact with some people who are into the same kind of stuff you are, and the discussions vary. They range all over the place. So yeah, the comic, whatever we read, may be the starting point, and we'll discuss art style, and we'll discuss story, and we'll discuss how it flowed, how it fit together, and that kind of thing. But it always branches off from there into what does it remind us of, what could be done with it, what more could you have expected from it. It's a great kind of outlet for anyone who enjoys comic books or reading in general because, you know, a lot of these things are so well written, you might as well be reading a book. It's a great environment to meet new people, to meet and talk about things that are just geeky fun.
Absolutely, and the great thing about it is that you don't have to be a well-versed comic book geek to enjoy it. You can be anybody off the street. It's a great way to learn about comic books, to get started on your collection, and just to feel comfortable asking the questions that you've been meaning to ask, but your local comic book shop kind of shames or looks down upon you for doing so.
And heck, if you haven't read the books for the month, show up anyway. Listen to everybody else talk about it. That might spark your interest enough to pick it up and read it yourself.
Right, because a lot of us have been reading comic books long enough that if you tell us what you're interested in, as far as like novels or magazines or even TV shows, we could recommend a comic book for you that you'll like. You know, just it works out. It's just a lot of fun. So don't be afraid. Come on out. If Anthony can do it, anybody can.
Yes, yes. I am the hermit. I do live in a cave. Certain things draw me out. Comic Book Club is one. So, come on, check it out. The next event will be found. Information for the next event, for the next 24-hour Create Something Day, for the next Comic Book Club meeting can be found on the Forbidden Panel website and all of the other sources of social media where we would also like you to check us out after this episode of the podcast. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest.
We Google Snapchatted Plus. Every hour on the hour during the 24 Create Something Day. So that was challenging. That was my contribution to creating something, was creating moments of embarrassment on camera.
Yes. So everywhere, all over the interwebs, all over social media, look for us, look us up, check out information, show up to an event. We hope to see you come out and try something new. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye, guys.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.